In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by ByHeart, which is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. In our house, we never skim on family time together on the weekends. Instead of racing around crazy, we prioritize time at home, time to relax, time to do fun, crazy things that we wouldn't have ordinarily. And you know who else doesn't skim? ByHeart. ByHeart is the only American-made infant formula with globally sourced ingredients to use organic, grass-fed whole milk without a drop of skim. Whole milk is full of healthy fats like naturally occurring MFGM, which play an important role in babies' brain development and growth. Are you curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code name Zibby20 for a limited time.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and I am the host of this podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. I am also a newly minted USA Today bestselling author of the novel Blank. I've created a whole community of book lovers around this podcast, a publishing company, reading retreats, a bookstore, and more. Learn more at zibbymedia.com or follow me on social at Zibby Owens or join the community at Zibby Readers. Gretchen Schreiber is the author of Ellie Haycock is Totally Normal. Gretchen grew up between the hills of Kansas and the hospitals of Minnesota, but now calls the hills of Los Angeles home. Well, that is a nice way to say that. Let me just read that again, because that's a really pretty bio line that I have not heard before. Gretchen Schreiber grew up between the hills of Kansas and the hospitals of Minnesota, but now calls the hills of Los Angeles home. So that's just a little taste for you of her writing. After getting her MFA from USC Film School, she works as a professional bookworm for Hello Sunshine, Reese Witherspoon's media company. She is always down to run away to Disneyland or a bookstore. Welcome, Gretchen. Thanks so much
Hello.
For coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Ellie Haycock is Totally Normal.
Yes.
I really enjoyed this book. I really enjoyed the blog from the mom's perspective, how clever that was. The daughter, I was like frantically like, well, what's going to happen with the surgery? Is she going to be okay? Like, you know, I'm like, can I Google how to, you know, what, you know, and then I'm like, well, maybe she has this. Maybe she has that. Anyway.
The number of people who have been like, I was guessing along the lines and trying to figure out what she had. And I was like, surprise. You're not going to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Spoiler alert.
Yep. Okay, so Gretchen, give the elevator pitch here. What is your book about?
Yes. So the easiest way to talk about the book is that it's Breakfast Club in a hospital. Mm. And the slightly longer, more detailed version of the pitch is that it's about a girl named Ellie who keeps her hospital life and her high school life very separate. And it's what happens when a new illness sends her back to the hospital and a new group of friends and a new love interest helped her to see that combining both lives is not only okay, but also totally normal.
Awesome. I love that. And talk about your personal connection to the material and your own stuff.
Yes. So one of the like weird things in my writing journey that I will often say is that when I'm looking for inspiration, I just go to my own medical file and start rooting around for all the like weird things that have happened in my life. And so the like sort of medical journey that Ellie is on of having this strange illness and then having surgery and what happens after that surgery is all based on a time in my own life where that was also like the sort of ups and downs of like mysterious illness. Don't know what's going on. What if we just started, you know, chopping things out of your body? And then what happens if that doesn't work? Mm-hmm. So that's like sort of the like the plot backbone of the book. But also I spent my childhood growing up in and around Ronald McDonald houses. And it was sort of like, it's not called a Ronald McDonald House in the book. And I don't really ever pitch it that way because I find that most people don't know what a Ronald McDonald House is. And for the
really?
I know. Yeah. Like people just don't know. And I'm like, okay. Well, let's talk about that. But for those who don't know, it's a house that's usually located close to a major medical facility. And much like in the book, it's a place where families can stay for either little cost or no cost, where their children are undergoing medical surgeries, treatments, et cetera. And so these moments of like places where you can find community and connection while going through something that is arguably like so singular, but also like with a bunch of other people who are also going through something was impactful in my life. And so it was like something I never saw in books, especially that talked about kids who were disabled, of like this weird sort of, I often described it as like some kids went to summer camp and I went to the Ronald McDonald House. And so like you sort of see these same personalities and they become like really, really impactful, super, super fast. And then you, now, thanks to social media, you can probably keep track of each other way more often. But for me, it was like you had these deep emotional connections and you may never see these people ever again, partly because you don't want to know if they live or die, and partly because you just, you go on with your life. And so really wanting to capture those sort of like moments of like, what does that feel like to have somebody who can like so intimately understand what you're going through, but also maybe not, as Ellie finds with Brian. Yes. So, yeah. So that's kind of like it. And then, I mean, my mom, I should say my mom did not blog about me.
Okay.
Growing up, but she did start a 501c3, a nonprofit for families of kids with back roles when I was a kid. So I sort of grew up around that and watching a lot of moms put everything about their kids online and me going, I don't know if like growing up in the you know, internet, the becoming of internet age of, I don't know if I would want all of my surgeries just out there for the world to see and like Google. So that sort of became like a big part of her relationship with her mom. And then my mom actually came up with like the sort of twist of the book, which is that, spoiler alert, her parents are secretly divorced on paper, which is like a real thing people do to get healthcare, which is kind of, it's like, wow, our system, what a system.
Oh so, my gosh.
Yeah. So that's kind of the background and inspiration points of the book.
Well, I think you did a beautiful job of describing what it's like just on a day-to-day basis, like being a younger person in a hospital and in a home and the interactions. And there was one line you had too, where you said something like, you can get over the physical pain, but you can't get over like being left out and having like your regular life just move on without you. Like that is something it is really hard to deal with.
Yeah. And that, I mean, is a whole like portion of Ellie's life is that like, yeah, you can't. Like everything around you is still sort of going on at home and no one else really knows. You know, it kind of becomes hard to talk about, especially when you're like Ellie or Caitlin in the book, where like this isn't something that you're going to like get over, quote unquote. Like this is something that is just going to keep happening and keep coming up and keep doing it. So how do you explain that to like your friends who are so used to like the sort of narrative we have from society, which is you can beat this thing or you can get better. Or like, I think she says it multiple times in the book, you know, something can be solved in 45 minutes or less on a medical trauma. And, you know, talking about it becomes complicated. Mm-hmm. And that's just, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And like her devastation when she realized that Jake did know when he came to visit her, and she was like, no. Like this was,
yeah,
these were my two things. This is not what I wanted. Thanks for the surprise.
Thanks for the surprise, Mom. You thought I wanted this and I did not. Yeah. And what it feels like to have someone see you in this like very vulnerable situation that you were like, no, because I'm having a me time and now I have to try and explain and like, manage your feelings on the subject when Ellie can barely manage her own.
Interesting.
So many times.
But then you sort of use Ryan as a foil when you are.
Yes. Right?
And I love, not I love, I mean, it was sad, but the scene where Ellie goes to visit Ryan and he's very weak and she asks if he has like a standing device, or that wasn't the right word, but assisted mobility device. Is that what
yeah,
it's called?
Yeah. Or he, yeah.
And the tension of not wanting to need / ask for help, but needing it, but not wanting to be the one giving it, and that whole thing, and that they both kind of get it, and she has to step into the role anyway.
Right, and she's like, I'm going to do it, and yep. He may or may not like it, and I'm going to do it anyway. I mean, I think I often describe their like relationship as one of those like Ellie, as much as she wants to prove him wrong and that like doctors will never have all the answers and like, you know, just keep going, like, sure, have fun with that. I'll be here. You know, she also knows that at some point he's going to get the news that like devastates him, which he does in the book, and like what it's going to feel like. She wants him to not have that experience, yeah. But she knows that it's coming. And like those moments like you're describing of like her having to like step in and be like, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to fake it for the friends, and being there when he sort of discovers that medicine doesn't have all the answers, mm-hmm. and how devastating that can be is like some of my favorite, their interactions are some of my favorite moments of the book.
Yes, for sure. Wanted a lot more of that. I even love how she's like covertly texting him about her meetings with the one doctor. Oh, yeah. And he's like, what are the levels? What are these? And she's like, shh, 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 you know.
Yeah, she's like,
okay, go for it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like his whole medical coach situation is
yes,
like.
Medical coach. Thank you. Yes.
No. His like whole thing with her is just, he's so adorable. But yeah.
And I know I mentioned this at first, but I really feel like this is the first book I've read where the child of a blogger is old enough to write a book and have that point of view, because there's, yeah. You know, the whole mom blog revolution, what is happening with all those kids? How do they feel? And this is like, you know what? I'm not feeling so great about it, mom.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's like an added layer of like complication for Ellie is that she's grown up knowing all of these things and is not okay with it, but also knows, thanks to her mom's blog, that like this is the last thing that her mom quote unquote has, right?
Yes,
like
yes.
That if like I take this away after I've taken away so much, like my very existence is like quote unquote ruined her life, what does that say about me? And like, can't I just like live through this just a little bit longer? And everyone else around her, her friend Caitlin, is like, no, you don't have to, you know.
It just is a lot to put on a kid. That like, yeah. This is the only thing your mom has left. So you have to succumb to the pressure of like, you have to subvert your own needs and all of that, because otherwise your mom will be upset. Meanwhile, you're the one who's sick or going through whatever.
Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like Ellie is often one of those characters who, much like me, is somebody who would like cut off her own hand to save someone else, mm-hmm. of like, you know, she'll take it and she'll take the hit rather than being like, actually, could you maybe not hit me again? That would, mm-hmm. that'd be great. Which I think becomes really hard in like trying to find your own voice, which she does, but it's a long journey.
You also have some other characters who come in, and I feel like we're always getting different points of view on how there are good ways of handling this and there are not so good ways, or I'm not as productive. So there's one interaction with someone in the home when Ellie's like in the worst mood and she's like, someone broke up with my best friend, da 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 da. And the person's like, I'm just going to give you chocolate because when you deal with a breakup, you need chocolate. And I was like, that is so huge, because that's just taking the moment and dealing with the thing. Like, we don't have to, you know, like sometimes you just need to deal with the regular things.
Yeah. No, Veronica is one of those characters who I think
Veronica.
She
Thank
learned.
You,
yeah,
Veronica.
No.
I'm sorry. I have like half a thought and you can fill it in.
I can fill it in. It's a team effort here. She is one of my favorite characters because she does, I think, stand in a lot of times for the audience of like,
yes.
She's just a normal kid. She's volunteering at the home and is kind of trial by firing it with all of these new people that she's meeting. And I think that moment that you're describing of like, Ellie's had a terrible day and Veronica is like, hi, hello, how's it going? And Ellie is just like, no, we're done. This, we are not doing this. I am not putting on a nice face and I'm going to let you have it. And I think the fact that Veronica is like, okay, so this is what I can do. And I'm really sorry. Chocolate. Here's some other things. Have at it is like her first step of like Ellie being like, oh, maybe you're okay. Maybe you're like, you can do it. And she has a couple missteps throughout the book that she still is like, whoop, whoop. Where Caitlin and Ellie have to be like, you can never say that again to anybody. Like, we're going to forgive that. No, we're done. So,
but at least you know that her heart is in the right place.
Yes. And I think that's the thing is like, I think Ellie and Caitlin both are like, okay, you are trying to do right here. Comma, yeah. However. So.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Wow.
Yeah.
So tell me about writing this and coming up with the characters and your process of doing it, your motivation. Like, just tell me the backstory of the writing piece.
Oh. So the writing piece, this was a COVID book, and I feel like all of us either found reading or found writing in COVID-19.
I actually thought Ellie might have COVID, by the way. That was a theory of mine.
Honestly, it probably could have been COVID. I had left LA under really like morbid circumstances because I, like Ellie, have really compromised lung function. And I was like, well, I should just go back, maybe see my family one last time. So I drove all the way home to Kansas and I wrote Ellie. I had been doing another book at the time and sort of put that book aside and was like fulfilling a promise that I made to a friend because I had pitched her a book that was like Breakfast Club in a hospital. And she was like, I'm never going to let you not write that. So I finally said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I wrote it in 7 weeks during the pandemic and then sort of revised it a little bit, sent it off. Discovered very quickly that maybe in a global pandemic where doctors are heroes, maybe a book that maybe is a little critiquing the medical system, not the way to like agents' hearts. And ended up doing an online mentorship program called Pitch Wars that fall.
Yeah.
And then in the spring, got an agent who is fabulous. Her name is Alex. She's everything. Then strangely enough, we revised it some more, took it out in August. And then that April, funnily enough, the night before my mother had surgery, got the offer from Wednesday that they wanted to buy the book. And so have been on that journey ever since with them. And then the blog, actually, I will say the biggest change from like writing it to now was that my editor was the one who was like, I think we actually need to see the blog. And I think you should write the blog post because it was always something that had been referenced, yep, but never something that had like actually been like concretely stated in the book. And so I was like, okay, here we go. Let's write some blogs. Except for the end. The end had always had the last blog, the last letter to Ellie. So that was that. My writing process is what I call and all my friends call chaos. because I do not write in order and I do not write with an outline, which is terrifies a lot of my friends. And so I would hop around in the draft to sort of be like, oh, I know where these touchstones are. And then that weird thing that happens that I never believed writers could be, but then it happened to me and I was like, oh, this is that magic of writing where characters would start referencing other conversations or other things that happen. And I'd be like, oh, make just a little note that we've got to go back and actually write that scene now.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point you stitch it all together. And usually, as I say, I get to the 60,000 word mark and I have to stitch all the scenes that I have in order. And then I throw out 20,000 words and I write 40,000 more words and I end up with a full manuscript. And someday I hope to like cut down on that, eliminate 20,000, add 40,000 number, because that's a lot of like excess work. But that's not happened yet, because I also did that with my second book of threw out 20,000 to write 40. So,
oh my gosh. Wait, so what is then your next book going to be?
Well, my editor never told me what I could and couldn't tell, so joke's on her.
Okay.
So my next book is, I pitch it as like Taylor Swift Enchanted meets Cyrano with a speculative twist.
Okay.
So it's about a disabled girl who all the women in her family are, they know their true love at first sight, and her determination to fit in with her family, especially that she doesn't look like anyone in her family. And for the first time ever in her family, her parents are getting a divorce. I promise someday the parents will not be divorced in my books.
Are your parents divorced?
They are not, surprisingly. Oh. Yeah. I, you know, my mother even was like, Gretchen, we made it through you. You're fine. Because like the divorce rate for parents of kids with disabilities is like 90%. Yeah. So she's there. So she's determined to have the most epic love story. And it's what happens when she finds her person and realizes that she just knows he's her true love. But because she's never like dated anybody or been like, because like, why date someone when they're not your true love?
I mean,
you know,
okay.
So, you know, she's like, what's the point? She falls flat on her face and has to convince her best friend, who is a bit of a ladies' man, but everyone still loves him, that he needs to teach her how to woo her love of her life. And what happens when her best friend says, but what if I love you more? And what if you give up on a love that fate has chosen for a love that fate could never dream of?
Mm.
And so, so it's all like magical, little mystical, and lots of friends and drama again. So,
that sounds great. Sounds good.
So yeah, April 2025.
Wow, that's gonna come in like 2 seconds.
I know.
It's gonna be like, here in no time. Oh my gosh.
I don't even know how it's March. Like it's the middle of March.
I know. Time just it's way too fast. So, when I first heard your name, it was affiliated with Reese's Book Club, because didn't you used to get all the pitches for that?
I still do.
Oh, you still do? Okay.
I still do. Nope. I'm like one of those weird writers with a day job that is also in books. So, awesome. Yeah.
How did you end up there and what has that been like?
Yeah. So I came to California originally. I went to grad school for producing for film, television, and new media. And then graduated into that casual graduate without a job thing in a terrible job market. Welcome to the millennial, you know, life cycle. And I started just sort of working in any odd job that I had. I worked at a bookstore. It was like the sort of constant. Mm-hmm. I ghost wrote romance novels. I input metadata for a studio. And then I also like read scripts for a fellowship. And the thing about freelancing that no one tells you is that it's a young person's game. And about the time that I was 28 and had 7 jobs at one time,
I was like,
I can't, my body is too old. Mm-hmm. And I let all my friends know that I was like, I want a job and a benefit and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so a friend emailed me and was like, hey, Reese is looking for a personal assistant. Would you be interested? And I was like, sure, I'll get the coffee. And my, you know, resume did the whole like to a friend, to a friend, to a friend, and over to Reese's people. And they called me in. And in the interview, I mentioned, oh, I read 200 scripts a year and 80 books. And they were like, what? This was at the very beginning of Hello Sunshine. I think I had even like, they were like, we're going to have you go meet with Hello Sunshine. And I even like remember Googling it. And it was like, the only thing that said was like, actress Reese Witherspoon starts production company, you know? And I went in and I was like, oh, you have a book club. That's really cool. Bookstagram, BookTube, all these things. And they were like, we don't know about any of this. So clearly we need you. And they offered me a job and I said, done.
Wow.
And that was in 2017. And I've been there. I've done different jobs, sort of always doing a lot of the reading and helpful curation. But I've helped with our Audible projects. I've helped with the build out of Reese's Book Club as it's become what it is today. And so, yeah, now I do reading and then I help run Lit Up, which is our writing fellowship that we do for underrepresented women and non-binary storytellers. So, yeah, it's been a wild ride. It'll be 7 years this August, which is, I don't know. And yeah, so.
Wow. So yeah. when you're reading for book club, is it what you like? Is it what you're trying to like, you know, cross off? Like, how do you marry your own tastes with trying to like read? Because I'm sure a lot of people do this, right? For publishing houses or other outlets, right? You have to read for the company that you're working for, but you have your own taste, right, as well. How do you marry the two?
So I think the bigger part of that is like really understanding that at the end of the day, everything has to be Reese approved. So it's like, it's almost like you are trying to like take off the like, this is my personal jam, and like being able to say, this is a good book on its merits, mm-hmm, alone. This is why Reese will like it. And so it's like a very strange thing if we like set up a lot of like different guidelines, and having done this now for like 7 years, I can kind of be like, oh, I think she'll like this about it. I think she'll like this. You know, you sort of, the first couple of years, we get a lot of back and forth of, no, I don't like that. Try again. Mm-hmm. And now it's a little less often that we get a try again, mm-hmm, but it's not so much my own personal taste. It's recognizing this is a good book. It's a fast read. We love a good read. You know, you're always sort of looking at the end of the day for that book that sort of like sucks you in and like the page falls away and you're just like reading something for enjoyment. But I also will say, like, on the flip side of that, if I don't tend my own reading outside of work, then I really struggle with my day job. So it's like, I do have to feed myself and what I like, mm-hmm, and then go and like feed the work of like, oh, here we go. And sort of, I don't know if any of that made sense, but it's like, sense. You kind of have to have like be in two corners, but also like weigh everything more toward that. And then I think I'm also just extra hard on things that I over index on. So like fantasy, sci-fi, romance, mm-hmm, I'm like, okay, it's got to, like, it can't just be, is this just because I love it? Or is it because like, it's actually good and she will enjoy it? Mm. So.
Well, I feel like the last 6 years have seen a shift in the market too, towards those types of books.
Yes. It's been strange to watch them like sort of, I don't want to say rebrand women's fiction to like, mm-hmm, book club fiction, but mm-hmm, yeah, it's been wild to sort of watch like book club fiction take over the world and be like, oh, right, I've had a hand in like shaping this, which is crazy. Like terrifying and both like amazing. Well, I mean, you too, like, you know, with your podcast, your bookstore and everything, like
it's a smaller scale, it's, but yeah,
you know, it's coming. So, yeah, you know, it's definitely, I don't know, it's been weird to watch publishing sort of go back and forth as they try to figure it out. And I'm always fascinated when editors come and be like, I have the perfect Reese's Book Club book for you. And I'm like, lay it on me, because I can guarantee you probably don't. but I'm always fascinated when people tell me they think they know what a Reese's Book Club pick is. And I'm like, describe it, go for it. Because I think it's like 7 years. I think it's very clear what a Reese's Book Club book looks like. But, you know, sometimes people get it right. And sometimes people are like, I'm like, nope, try it again. But it was a good book.
So. Yeah. Or maybe they just are hoping. They're just hoping.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much hope for it.
Yeah. Is there a book that you passed on early that like became a huge hit and you're like, oh, I should have recommended that, or no?
There are definitely books that I think became a huge hit, and like something we like talk about like internally is like a confident pass. Like, we have our, mm-hmm, reasons.
Yep.
You know, like, mm-hmm, we can see that this will become a thing and we know why, mm-hmm, but we're okay saying no. Mm-hmm. You know? So I definitely think back on some of those books where I'm like, yep, we saw that book. And you know, it's interesting, and I'm sure you see it a little bit too, of like when you get a book before all of the buzz, that there's really sort of like, there's this like, I don't want to say pure moment, but there's this moment of like, I can't judge on what anyone else is saying about this book. Like I purely have to go just on my reaction to it. And you then sort of go, well, it's good. I can see why this will appeal to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And we can either like pick it up, but does it align with what we want? And does it align with what, you know, Reese will love? And then you have to just trust. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was wondering how many books you think you read in a given week or month or.
Oh my gosh, this is always the question. I read anywhere from 3 to 4 books in full a week. And if I'm not looking at fulls, I will read anywhere from like 7 to 10 partials a week. And that can be anywhere from like 5% to like 25%, which I'm sure is like making authors everywhere go, oh. And also as an author makes me go, and I used to not be understanding of why agents only needed 5 pages from you. And now I'm like, oh, nope. I understand now.
But I learned that quickly too.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, oh yeah.
Yeah. Get it. Oh my gosh. Well, Gretchen, oh my gosh. Congratulations. Ellie Haycock will stay with me. I feel like I am on the lookout for her and Ryan and her mom and all the characters. So congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks for listening to Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you love it, please leave a review and follow us on social at Zibby Owens and at Zibby Readers.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.